Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
And here we go.
My opponent is against oil, guns, and God.
I am the Democratic Party right now.
47 years, you've done nothing.
Everything Americans value hangs in the balance.
We have an obligation under the Constitution
to use every arrow in our quiver.
This is Devious Motives with Brett Winterbull.
And welcome to a brand new edition of Devious Motives. Devious Motives began in the 2020 election cycle, fell into the 2021-2022 debacle in Afghanistan, and now we are back at it with a rematch of two people who I believe will likely be facing off in the national elections coming up on Election Day on November the 5th. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what we do here on this podcast, you'll learn pretty quickly. It's a sort of a documentary in real time where we talk to people, we look at a number of issues that are out there moving. And so I wanted to start this just after the Iowa caucus. And we now have those results in. We now know that Donald Trump picked up, 51% of the electorate. He won every single county but one, and that was the University County there in Iowa. Really remarkable. Coming in second, you now know, Ron DeSantis, and then, of course, Nikki Haley coming in third, and Vivek Ramaswamy coming in fourth. And as of this moment, Vivek Ramaswamy has suspended his campaign. He didn't get enough. He got 7%. He pledged those 7% people to Donald Trump's effort. So where are we now? Well, here's where we are. The reactions from last night.
And to all of the people standing behind me and all of the people in this room and so many great politicians and great dignitaries and friends, I just want to thank you all. This is a very special night. And this is the first, because the big night is going to be in November when we take back our country. And truly, we do make our country great again. Thank you very much, everybody.
An actual conciliatory Donald Trump, which I think is an important quality to have, right? You don't have to always be in a determinative war footing 24/7, 365. He had a number of dignitaries there in attendance. It was really an interesting evening. It ended about 35 minutes into the process, because that's when you had to have all the folks out there calling it. You can't let these processes ever play out. That's sort of the rule of thumb, because you are not operating with these caucuses and of course, you know, the primaries. You are not operating at the behest or at the benefit of the voters. It's all about the news media and the news media outlets. Ron DeSantis is the guy who came in second in Iowa. I have nothing against Ron DeSantis. I have nothing against anybody. If you want to run for office, I mean, unless you're a crazy, wacko, psycho nut job who wants to do a whole lot of crazy stuff, you know, I'm willing to hear you. And I'd actually be willing to hear a wacko. If you want to have a wacky platform, I'd love to hear it. I'm just not going to vote for it or probably take it that seriously. But Ron DeSantis believes himself to still be in the running as he makes his way, not to New Hampshire, but he's going to make his way down to Nikki Haley's territory. And that is obviously South Carolina. Here is what Ron DeSantis had to say, a little piece of Ron DeSantis from last night.
For your effort, we thank you for your support. You helped us get a ticket punched out of the Hawkeye State. We have a lot of work to do, but I can tell you this, as the next president of the United States, I am going to get the job done for this country.
So that's Ron DeSantis laying down his vision of the future, et cetera, things like that, right? Now, who do we have? Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley spent a lot of money. Nikki Haley was just spending a lot of money DeSantis was spending a whole ton of money as well. And the question becomes, what does this next showdown look like? You heard from Trump. You heard from DeSantis. Now let's hear from Nikki Haley, who came in third place.
I can safely say tonight, Iowa made this Republican primary a two-person race.
It's the elephant in the room. She's still a brown lady that's got to try to win in a party that is deeply anti-immigrant and which accepts the notion that you can say immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. She's getting, you know, birthered by Donald Trump. And I don't care how much the donor class likes her, which will ramp up a lot, the better she does in New Hampshire. So it's still a challenge. I don't see how she becomes the nominee of that party with Donald Trump still around. I can't picture it happening. Maybe it could happen. Ron DeSantis' only argument for staying in it is he's the white guy, that he can still make the appeal to white.
She can't see how she will succeed or could succeed in that party. And Donald Trump and by extension, Ron DeSantis, or Ron DeSantis and by extension, Donald Trump are just going to go full on a Bull Connor racist because she's a brown lady. What an insulting comment. She's a brown lady. The brown lady can't win. Excuse me. This is stunning to me. And just by way, and I'm not going to take too much of a departure here, okay? Just by way of kind of introducing a concept into this conversation that I came across in the last 24 hours, you know, the FAA is looking to hire a more diverse workforce. And the way they define a more diverse workforce is really, really quite something. The FAA is looking for ways to diversify the people who are in the FAA. And this thing has caught fire. This is a story that is just incredible. So what they want to do is they don't want to look at people and figure out how they're qualified. They want to look for people who are diverse and then plug them into the job. Which, I mean, okay, that's fine. But we're talking about, by their own admission, the FAA diversity push to hire workers with severe intellectual disabilities sparks concern and mockery. Quote, compassion is one thing, common sense is something else. The Federal Aviation Administration is facing criticism and concern from both politicians and the public over a diversity hiring initiative that actively recruits workers with severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric issues, and other disabilities. Quote, all I ask is that the FAA hire individuals based on who is most qualified for the position and who will best protect our airspace, ensuring that we are all safe. That's Representative Jeff Van Drew, Republican from New Jersey, used to be a Democrat. He came across the line to Donald Trump. Fox News Digital reported Sunday that the FAA's website details a diversity and inclusion hiring plan aimed to boost diversity, including those with severe disabilities at the agency. Individuals with targeted or severe disabilities are the most underrepresented segment of the federal workforce. The FAA's site states before it details the targeted disabilities that the agency is actively working to recruit. Targeted disabilities are those disabilities that the federal government, as a matter of policy, has identified for special emphasis in recruitment and hiring, the FAA's website states. They include hearing, vision, missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis, epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, psychiatric disability, and dwarfism. Now, see, only the government would just put all that on one linear line. I know I just kind of repeated myself, a linear line. But I mean, this is the kind of stuff that drives turnout at elections. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, between this and the walkout at the White House over not supporting Hamas, I don't get what's going on here, folks. I don't get what's going on here. But it's not just the federal government, it's corporations too. Let me give you an example. Scott Kirby is the CEO of United Airlines. Scott Kirby is making a very strong push to recruit a diverse workforce in the C-suite, not necessarily in other places, but maybe, you know, try to get pilots and people like that in there. But I have to believe that because he owns the company, or he's the CEO of the company, he doesn't own the company. He's responsible for the company. He has to answer to the shareholders. Who does the FAA answer to? The Congress? The president? The people? Mostly the president. Sort of the Congress. But here's Scott Kirby in an interview from just this past weekend talking about the need for diverse workforces. Check it out.
Today, only 19% of our pilots at United Airlines are women or people of color. And by the way, from all the data I've seen, that's the highest of any airline in the country.
White males don't just dominate in the cockpits, also in the C-suite at United Airlines.
Well, look, at United, I'm proud of the diversity that we actually have in our C-suite. I think if you look around corporate America.
Correct me if I'm saying, though, this was just based off your website, the people you list as executives, but out of 11 people, three are women. I believe one is a person of color.
That's correct. But, you know, in corporate America, I think, you know.
That's a low bar. How do you raise your own bar?
Well, a lot of this is, you know, focusing on it. We have programs to, one of the things we do is for every job when we do an interview, we require women and people of color to be involved in the interview process, bringing people in early in their careers as well, and giving them those opportunities and creating a stronger bench.
Now, you may agree, you may disagree, you may be a shareholder, you may not be a shareholder. I don't know, but you can do that in corporate America. When you just come out with an edict that you're going to get people who check this box, this box, this box, this box, this box, all the boxes, as opposed to skill sets, I think that's the fundamental difference between a free market approach and government command down approach. And so, look, you listen to what Joy Reid said about the brown lady, meaning Nikki Haley. She's hired and employed by MSNBC. MSNBC believes that that's the right sort of stuff that you ought to be putting out there about a presidential candidate. Okay, I understand. But that's also a private market company, right? They can keep, they can hire, they can fire, they can do whatever they want. I just think it's disgraceful to call Nikki Haley the brown lady and saying she has no chance because of the racists in the Republican Party. I mean, I'm sort of at a loss, in all sincerity. So what's the pathway forward here, right? What is the pathway forward? Well, coming up in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you the pathway forward because I know what the issues are going to be. Just being a host on WBT Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m., I understand clearly what this picture looks like as you move towards not just New Hampshire and not just South Carolina, but Super Tuesday and beyond. The issues are not complex. The issues are pretty basic all the way around. There are no secrets. Back right after this.
You're listening to Devious Motives. You're listening to Devious Motives.
Welcome back to Devious Motives. I'm Brett Winterbolt. They did a poll last night for the people who went and showed up at the caucus, and they asked them what the biggest issues were. And there are four big issues as far as these folks are concerned. And they are, in order, immigration, the economy, foreign policy, and healthcare. Let me just break this down for you. It's not hard to understand. Healthcare got like 3%. And you had, in the case of foreign policy, it was like 7%. Everything else. We're talking about like 71, 72% were concerned about the border, and they were concerned about the issues with the economy. Now, that's hugely important because if Joe Biden wants to try to win voters over in Iowa, you can't just do bad orange man 24/7, 365. You can't just use Ron DeSantis is the devil. You can't just use Nikki Haley is terrible. You can't use those as arguments. You have to look at the issues that people care about. And the fact is, These people care about the economy and they care about immigration. They're worried. People are worried. People are scared. And the candidates have got to speak to that issue. You have somebody who is trying to be reelected. See, it's a trick. Who's trying to be reelected? Well, both of them are, right? It's Biden and it's Trump. And again, I'm fascinated by watching Ron DeSantis. I'm fascinated by watching Nikki Haley. It's going to be very interesting. Right now, I think Trump's got this thing pretty much in hand. I think people want to see that rematch. You may not like it, but I'm seeing a rematch picture here, as far as I can tell. Now, if I'm wrong, I will absolutely acknowledge it, etc. So immigration, economy, jobs, foreign policy, healthcare. Where's the energy policy? People want America to produce its own energy. They don't want to have to go back to the Middle East. We are slow creeping into the Middle East. We are fast creeping into the Middle East. And let's not forget that Lloyd Austin was MIA for about 10 days, and he just came back and we still haven't heard from him. That being said, what else is an important issue? The other important issue, I believe, is the idea that you can chart your course. Now, that's not going to show up in any of these categories. Chart your own course, be free, liberty, all that sort of stuff's not going to show up. But there's an undercurrent there. Because if the debate is between, and I'll throw all the Republicans in, right? If the debate is between Joe Biden and Nikki Haley, Joe Biden and Ron DeSantis, Joe Biden and Donald Trump. If that's the matchup, if that's what's happening, you have a philosophical difference in this race that needs to be talked about, an important philosophical difference. Do you want government that's going to do everything for you and to you, or do you want to be able to chart your own path? See, That's what people miss about, like, the MAGA movement, right? You always hear about the MAGA movement and all the MAGA and the MAGAs and the MAGAs and the MAGAs. And the, what do they call them? They MAGATs. I've heard them called MAGATs, you know, like MAGA, like MAGATs. People want to be left alone. I can't tell you how I can quantify this, but I can quantify it in this way. People who have moved from the Northeast, the industrial Midwest, and the West Coast of the United States, and have moved to states like Arizona, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee. Why do you think those people moved? Why do you think those people moved to those places? Was it the amazing cuisine? What was it, the amazing was it the amazing ability to do this or that? No. It's because people want to be left alone. People see the cities are crumbling. That's by design. People see what's going on around this country, and they want to get out. They want to get out. Look at the lists that come out every couple of months of the most popular places to go and move. And then ask yourself, why are they moving? Why are people moving to Florida? Why are they moving to Florida? Oh, well, they like the mosquitoes and they like the humidity and they like the heat and they, well, no, they want to be left alone. Ron DeSantis has done a very good job building that state up to be a place where people have their ability to enjoy freedom. Nikki Haley, okay, she hasn't been governor for a minute, but her successor in South Carolina, right? He has done a terrific job. You may disagree with Brian Kemp over in Georgia, but Georgia is flourishing economically, and there's a lot of freedom there. I've been to it a bunch of times, and the place is exploding. Go drive around Atlanta. I mean, the place is absolutely exploding. Tennessee, other than the pink Okami leftists that inhabit the capital, most people in Tennessee want to be left alone. And that charts all the way across the rest of the South and then into Texas. People want to be left alone. People don't want to wake up with illegal immigrants sleeping in their front yards. People don't want to wake up and have derelicts shooting up chemicals into their bodies on the corner where kids have to step over cadavers on their way to school. And I know this is a really ugly conversation, but this is a true conversation. People want to be left alone. Raise your hand. Don't do this if you're driving. Raise your hand if you want to be left alone. I don't mean abandoned. I don't mean no friends, no support, none of that. What I'm talking about is whether or not you just want to be free to make your choices. For some reason, pro-choice only applies to the abortion debate. But I believe pro-choice is making your own decisions. You want to own a firearm? You want to start a business? You don't want to be hassled by criminals coming in and robbing you. Just go down the list. Look at all of the ills. Crime is going to absolutely loom large in this election. And what you're going to hear from MSNBC and probably CNN is crime is code for the other people, the others, and all that sort of. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. The people of Chicago are furious with the policies in Chicago and the policies in Illinois. They don't like what Pritzker's doing. And he's on TV complaining that it's all the fault of the governor of Texas because he's allowing migrants to get on buses and go to Chicago and go to New York and go to Washington, D.C. It's disgraceful. It is positively, absolutely, 100% disgraceful. That is the great undercurrent in this race. When Joy Reid says that the brown lady doesn't have a chance, that's not true. That's not true at all. Look at how far she has come. She was the ambassador. Was she the ambassador because she's a brown lady? That's nonsense. Where the differences break down are whether or not you're going to have your life managed by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, or whether you want to chart your own course. It's really not complicated. It's not difficult at all to understand this. I can give you issues that have nothing to do with identity politics. I can give you issues of coming to take your gas stove, wanting to make you buy a whole new set of appliances for your home, a new water heater, the ability to choose the kind of vehicle you want to drive. These are all mandates. And it's very interesting to me because the party that wants to like live and let live and don't judge does a lot of judging, does a lot of judging. But where you make first contact with voters, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, is the policies that you espouse, where you say, we're going to electrify all the roads. You can't have windmills, or you have to have windmills. You have to do this. You have to do this. This, ladies and gentlemen, is unbelievable. This election is going to be a referendum on freedom. The candidates are the candidates. They are known quantities, top to bottom. But this election, without any doubt in my mind, is going to be fought in every neighborhood along the lines of freedom and liberty. In many ways, I believe that this is the rebuttal election to the COVID lockdowns. This is the rebuttal election to the command and control approach that was foisted upon the American people. You think about the military veterans who were run out of the service because they didn't want to get the shot. You think about all those times that you had the current president of the United States yelling and screaming at you, saying that you're the problem. You're the reason why COVID spread. You're the problem. You're the cause. And in the last couple of days, what do we find out? We find out that the bosses who were dismissing at every turn all of the issues involving COVID and where it came from have now started to accept the fact that it came from the lab. Choice. It's about more than abortion. That's going to do it for us and our inaugural outing for the Devious Motives. Remember to always question the motives of politicians, regardless of the party. They are trying to grab your freedom, your tax dollars, your opportunity, and your future. Your job as a listener to this podcast is to tell your friends, spread the word, and don't forget to defend your choice and your liberties at every turn. A republic, not a democracy. That's what we're going to talk about next. I'm Brett Winterbull. You're listening to Devious Motives. We'll talk to you next time.
Devious Motives with Brett Winterbull.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.